and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience The Good Life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. It was one of those moments in history where you remember exactly where you were when you heard the news. And you got to a TV immediately to witness something unheard of, horrific, terrifying, life-altering, world-changing. Then you called people in New York whom you knew or knew of to see if they were okay. Recently, I talked to a group of friends about the firefighters and police officers, those first responders to the calamity of 9/11, who ran up the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center while thousands were streaming down. What makes a few people run to the danger when the masses are running away? How does a person take on the challenge of rendering aid en masse during an unprecedented crisis? Our guest today was there, right there, when it all happened. I want to let you know the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is for you. It's because we believe God has given us the privilege of leading you closer to Jesus Christ. And in this time of reflection, in this moment of remembrance of the lives that were lost and the people that stood up as heroes during a time of great need, we have one of them in studio with us to tell the story, her story. Born to Puerto Rican parents on the island of Manhattan, Jasmine is quick to point out that she too considers herself an island girl. She feels right at home here in Hawaii. Before moving to Hawaii over 8 years ago, Jasmine was responsible for the everyday operations of communications at St. Vincent Catholic Medical Centers in New York, a corporation comprised of 8 Catholic facilities with 3 level 1 trauma centers. St. Vincent, Manhattan was the closest level 1 trauma center to Ground Zero in 2001. Today, Jasmine Rodriguez is Director of Communications and Marketing at Castle Medical Center. With over 20 years of marketing, communications, and crisis management experience, her passion is healthcare. While working for Lincoln Hospital and Mental Health Care, one of 22 municipal hospitals run by the City of New York, she went on to become the Director of Communications and Deputy Vice President for the entire municipal system of 22 hospitals. She was also the Special Assistant to the Editor and Director of Community and Promotions for the Hispanic newspaper, El Diario La Prensa, the largest and oldest Hispanic newspaper on the East Coast. Jasmine and her husband, Randy, are active in church and politics. They teach a premarital course in the New Hope Hospitality Ministry. They live in Kailua and have 2 English Cocker Spaniels, a 5-year-old black female named Sydney Ikaika, and a 4-year-old blonde named Gunnar Kekoa. Jasmine, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. It's such a blessing to be here, Danny.
Jasmine, take us back. Take us back to September 11, 2001. You're there in New York, in Manhattan. But specifically, where were you and what were you doing when the World Trade Center was first hit?
Well, I need to take you back a little bit before that. It was a beautiful morning, as we all know. Here in Hawaii, we see these days all the time. But in New York, you rarely get a beautiful day that looks springy, but yet it's fall, and there's a breeze, and there's no heat or humidity. So it was a beautiful day. And I got up that morning looking at the day and wondering, wow, it's going to be a great day. And I kept saying to myself, nothing is going to spoil my day today. Nothing. I had a date that evening. I wasn't married. I had a date that evening to go to Yankee Stadium. And although I'm a native New Yorker, I hate the Yankees. I'm a Met fan. So any opportunity that I got to go to Yankee Stadium to root against the Yankees was a great day for me. So I was really looking forward to that, and got on the train, went all the way down to Manhattan. Of course, nothing had happened just yet. When I get to 14th Street, which is typically where I get off, and then I walk over to the west side where the hospital is, I felt that something had changed as soon as I got up to ground level. At the ground level, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Independence Day with Will Smith, but that is one of my all-time favorite movies. And there's a scene there where the taxis are in the middle of the street, stopped, and people are looking upward, etc. And I hadn't yet reached the corner, so I didn't know what was happening. But I recall saying to myself, wow, it must be another jumper, because New York, it's full of people that sometimes will jump out of buildings, etc., commit suicide, and things of that nature. Well, when I get to the corner, I look to my left, and I see the South Tower, and it has a gaping hole. And I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, what in the world? So there was a man next to me, along with other bystanders. And he says, and I ask him, what happened? Because I hadn't seen the first plane hit. And he says, a small plane went into the World Trade Center. And I said, oh, my gosh. And, of course, being in healthcare, knowing that we were going to be busy, I start fumbling around in my bag and found my phone and call the ER of St. Vincent's, Manhattan. And I ask, this is, you know, has the red phone rang? Now, the red phone is the disaster phone that every trauma center has for multiple victims coming in or multiple injuries, et cetera. So they said, yes, Jay, because they call me Jay, says, yes, Jay. The phone rang, and we're already getting ready. It's going to be a busy day. So we're barricading the whole entire 7th Avenue, which is the path into the ER, and we wanted to make sure that all ambulances could be able to go in and out freely. So we had cleared that whole section. We knew that it was going to be a media circus, so that's why the barricades, and we already had a podium ready and everything was set to go. Well, I said, okay, great, I'll be there as soon as I can. If you've ever been to New York, the streets are long and the blocks are also wide. So I was going from the east into the west side, which is probably about a good 8 blocks. So I was really hustling. Hung up the phone, picked it up again, called my ex-husband, who was in 62nd Street up north. And I said, you have no clue what I'm looking at. And he says, what? And I said, a small plane just rammed into the World Trade Center. And he says, oh, my gosh. And I said, I know. He goes, well, we don't know anything here, because he was working in the bank and nothing had come in just yet. Anyways, as I'm talking to him, I hear a hum. It was kind of a surreal hum of a motor, of a plane, etc. And at that moment, you don't realize whether or not you've ever heard those noises because you're so used to it. And I remember kind of looking up, listening to my ex-husband, but looking up as well. And then all of a sudden, I saw the silhouette coming out of the large buildings, right? Because when you're looking downward at the street, then you see the silhouette. And I didn't know whether my mind was playing tricks, but I definitely saw that plane just coming out of nowhere, kind of pivoted or encircled, and then bang, hit the second tower. And there was a huge smoke ablaze, red smoke, just awful. And at that point in time, I always say, all hell broke loose. And I say that not as a curse, but as a fact. You know, it was just chaos. People started to run against my way. I was going into the hospital. They were running against me. I had my ex-husband on the phone, and I said, oh, my gosh, we're under attack. And he says, and he tells me on the phone, get out of there, get out of there. And I'm like, no, I got to go in. I hung up the phone instinctively, threw it in my bag, and really started to run. Of course, we're New Yorkers, so women love to run in heels. And we were running. When I got to the hospital itself, the barricades were already up. And people were just nervous. The staff was, this is what they're trained to do. And I say that because in 1993, during the first World Trade bombing, St. Vincent's was also the impact hospital or the connected hospital to take care of over 200 victims on that 93 bombing. Unfortunately, in 93, one of the reporters for one of the daily tabloids pretended to be a victim, lacerated herself, and went into the ER to get the stories. This time around, we kind of had our heightened awareness about that, so we had all our exits, all our entrances covered with security. We didn't want anything to disturb the flow of healthcare. And so I was outside just getting my facts straight. My job that day was the spokesperson for St. Vincent's Manhattan. With that said, I take care of all the media. I make sure that their facts, their questions are answered, what they want to know are answered. I make sure that there's a lot of our own personnel, be it the ER director, be it the CEO of that facility, can come out and address the reporters from a podium and answer their questions, et cetera. And we knew that it was going to be that kind of a day. But more yet, when the second plane hit, we knew we were under attack. At that point, we knew that we had something huge here. Naturally, at that point, everybody was saying that hospitals were going to be hit as well, that the Pentagon had just been hit, that there was a plane that went down in Pennsylvania. So everybody was on that kind of alert. A lot of people went home. A lot of our own staff, my staff, went home. They could not stay there. And that's a choice that you make. There's no judgment on you. But even one of my best people said, listen, I can't be here, Jay. And I remember telling someone, he was like a Samoan man, tall, burly, tough, and yet he was crying because he needed to be with his family. And I understand that.
You know, you're able to describe, I am literally mesmerized in seeing you, seeing your expression. I'm glad that we're able to at least get a glimpse of it and upload it to our website, mm-hmm. so people can even be brought in studio to actually watch what you've just shared. And then the graphic nature in which you share it, the details that you've given, it gives us more than a taste, it allows us to get a glimpse of the experience, mm-hmm. from a first-hand level. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk more. We've got to talk more, especially in the articulate way in which Jasmine Rodriguez shares the magnitude of the trauma. What was it like there at the hospital, in there? At Ground Zero. When we come back, we'll hear more from Jasmine. It's a Good Life Hawaii radio show. This is a special segment commemorating 9/11, remembering the heroes, remembering the lives that were lost and the families that have been so impacted in ways beyond words can express. We come back, we'll hear more from Jasmine and go deeper and talk about her life of faith, and the impact that Christ has made in and through her life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Thank you. On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Jasmine Rodriguez. She is living here in Hawaii, but when 9/11 took place, she was there. She's the Director of Communications and Marketing at Castle Medical Center. But while there at St. Vincent Catholic Center there in Manhattan, her hospital was the Level 1 Trauma Center right there at Ground Zero. In the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, we're here to bring you hope. We believe that God has us here for a purpose, to bring you hope, whatever situation you might be in. As we commemorate, as we talk and reflect on 9/11 and the impact that it has had on all of us and get a firsthand glimpse, there are cataclysms that take place in all of our lives. And sometimes we don't expect it, like what we experienced on 9/11, and perhaps today there is something going on in your life that you didn't expect, that caught you by surprise. Perhaps right now you're in a state of shock emotionally. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was something that happened, a loss in the family that you didn't expect. Well, the Lord has sent Jasmine here today to bring you a word of encouragement, a word of hope, out of experience, out of her heart. It's because of special corporate sponsors like Dr. Calvin Oishi, the orthopedic surgeon, that allow us to bring Jasmine Rodriguez here for you today. Jasmine, continue. As we talked, you're there at Ground Zero. You're mm-hmm. at the hospital. You're having to take care of interviews mm-hmm. that are coming, and it's going to be a media circus. Mm-hmm. But it's like you said all hell broke loose mm-hmm. on that day. Take us further.
Before the break, I was talking about staff, you know, and I know that at the beginning of your program, you mentioned that what makes a person stay?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What makes others leave? Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? As a spokesperson or as a crisis manager, it just comes from within. I do believe that it's my faith in the Lord that kept me there. All glory to Him, because from a very young age, He had always cared for me. Grew up as a Christian and loved the Lord. And I remember when my ex-husband said, "Get out of there." And I didn't. I just went in. In my mind, all I had were these words, you know, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me." And I just kept saying that. And I just kept saying that as I'm rushing into what the unexpected. Once there, of course, the press starts to arrive. First, just a few. And then by noon, we already had like 600 media outlets out there. During that time, of course, ambulances are coming in and out. They're coming in and out with some of the injured. And of course, the press wants to know what are the injuries, et cetera, how many people are coming in, gender, ages, roughly. We were seeing people that were, of course, burned, others that had lacerations. Others that had just broken, whether it's a leg or just got hit in the head, and we wanted to make sure that they were okay. So they started to come fast and furious. For the next 2 hours, we had over 400 victims come through our hospital, and many, many, many being taken care of right on site for immediate triage, what we call immediate triage. At that point, things were just happening. Nobody was paying attention to, is there going to be another bomb? We were just in that routine. I remember one moment, one of the reporters, Ellis Hannigan from New York Newsday, says to me, "Jay, there's a couple of men here, and can you speak to them for a minute?" And I was in between interviews, so it was kind of hard to juggle it. But I said, "You know what? Give me 1 minute." Finish with the interview. Went directly to my friend Ellis. And he tells me, "This man has a question." And it was a firefighter, a young firefighter. And he pulls out a photo. As we today know, everybody was with photos and papers and showing, "Do you know this person? Have you seen this person?" And he pulls out a photo of him and his wife, obviously in happier times, celebrating a birthday. And he says, "Is this person in here? This is my wife." And I remember kind of being stunned for a minute because I hadn't seen that just yet. I was taking care of reporters, so it was a different feel. And right next to him was his father. Now, his father, by all accounts, must have been retired, a retired firefighter as well. And like the Marines, once a firefighter, always a firefighter. But you can tell that this gentleman, this older man, must have grabbed his old uniform and put it on. And then, so he was with his son side by side, you know, right there with the helmets on. And they looked at me with hope. "Have you seen my wife? Is she in here?" And I remember at that moment, I was shocked because it was kind of I was uncomfortable, you know, with that being that really wasn't what I was there to do. But who cares? So I took the photo and I said, "You know what? Let me check inside. I'll check to see if we have her on our roster." Went inside, had one of the admission specialists check, and the admission specialist says, "No, I'm sorry, I don't have her name." And she was a Latina, and so I said, "Well, can you check for, instead of Jane Doe, check for Juana Doe, because of the color of the skin and the ethnicity?" And she says, "We don't have anybody like that." And I said, "Oh, okay." So I started to walk away. She goes, "Jay, wait 1 minute. Let me check the master list of all of the hospitals that are accepting people. Maybe she went to some other hospital." She checks the does as well. No, there was no person by that name. I turned around and I remember just pausing for a minute and just asking God, "Lord, give me the words to say, because I don't quite know what that means." This woman was on the 94th floor, clearly above the where the actual impact was. I didn't really know what to say. So it weighed heavy on my heart. And so I went out secretly hoping that they weren't there, that they had gone. But as soon as the ER doors opened, there they were. And I could see their faces, their eyes full of hope, wanting information, and I didn't have any. So I told them, I said, I'm sorry. I checked our hospital roster. Nobody there by that name. We also checked the master of all other hospitals, and her name is not there either. And I could see their shoulders slump, and I could see the hope disappear. And then the next thing that came out of the gentleman, the younger man, says, what am I going to do? What am I going to do now? And it was like the Lord just said, you know, forget about you. This is what I'm saying through you. And he said, and I told him, I said, you know, if I were you, I would go and I would continue to search, because there are still people being flooded in into different hospitals. There's also people leaving the site via bridge or via passenger cars or walking. So I would just continue to search if I were you. And there was a spark again, and I could see him come alive. And then they left, and I said, I do have your information. If she does come in, I will give you a call. And they said, okay, fine. And so they left. And that was the one story that for me hit home. I didn't know whatever happened to them through the course of the months to come. But February of the following year, there was a list of newly names added to the fatality list of September 11. And for that one particular, I've never looked at that list. I didn't have loved ones there, thank God. But for that morning, it was like there was a prompting for me to go and look at the list. And when I look at the list, that lady's name was there. So it was bittersweet in some way, bitter because she had passed, sweet in some ways because there was resolve. That means that there was closure for them. And I prayed for them, just for, if they didn't know the Lord, for them to know the Lord. And there was a hope that they would see her again if that were God's will.
You know, things at a time like that, there's a certain crystallizing. You know, you began to sense in a moment of crisis the precise way in which God gave you
totally.
A word to share
totally.
At that moment, the timeliness mm-hmm. of it, how fitting. You know, your faith, you fell back mm-hmm. on your faith mm-hmm. in the Lord. When we come back from our break, Jasmine, I want you to share about your faith, mm-hmm. your journey of faith. Mm-hmm. How did you come to know the Lord? How did you come to a place in your life where you were able to access the strength of God in a moment when people's knees grow weak mm-hmm. and our spines just turn into a noodle mm-hmm. and just fall apart? When lives fall apart, how do we remain strong? Perhaps today you need a boost. You need a word of hope and a word of strength. And the Lord, in His grace, in His amazing timing, has brought Jasmine Rodriguez here to share with you what she's experienced and how God's hope and strength that she has can also be God's hope and strength for you and your life right now. Right when you need Him most, He is there. Stay with us. We'll be back with more in depth with Jasmine Rodriguez. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited,
Janetta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with our featured guest today, Jasmine Rodriguez from New York. Now she's from Hawaii via New York. She's, well, I guess we could say, from New York, always from New York. I think New York it fascinates me. You might be just joining in our show. This has been one of the most riveting programs that we've had. We're talking about 9/11. Jasmine Rodriguez was there. When it all happened, she was there. Her hospital, the hospital that she was, had a large leadership capacity in, was the Ground Zero Trauma 1, Level Trauma 1 Hospital, St. Vincent Medical Center. And as you're listening, you might say, hey, I got to hear more of her story. And you certainly would want to hear more as she tells about how she saw the shadow coming over, the shadow over the buildings, and then the towers were hit. You can find out more at thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can listen to the program in its entirety there. And I also want to just thank our partners, our corporate partners, our church partners, and those of you who sacrifice and give generously to make this program available for people who are in need of a word of hope at this particular time, and the specialness of commemorating many who have lost their lives and many who have given of their lives and have been affected greatly because of what took place on that day. Jasmine, you grew up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like I said before, it's not only a glittering place, it just a place, I think, that for people around the world, you just mention it and it conjures up magnificence. But for you being there, what was it like growing up in New York City?
Well, that's a good question. Not all of our life, and my mom and I, not all of our life was glittery or great or in a position that we had. Like Paul says, I'm content with what I have. Mm-hmm. I know what it is to have plenty, and I know what it is not to have.
Yes.
Very early on, my mom and I were homeless. both in Puerto Rico and in New York several times. And so it wasn't great. However, my mom, not really knowing the Lord during that time, relied on what her tutu told her about this man up there that loved her. Mm-hmm. And during those years of Les, she kept saying to me, you know, there's this man up in heaven who is taking care of us, even if we're roaming the streets, even if we have no place to go. Mm-hmm. And I, in my young age, did not realize that homelessness was such a bad thing, because she made it sound so wonderful. Mm-hmm. I would ask her, so where are we sleeping today? And she would go, it's a surprise. And she always made it sound so wonderful to me. So I thought that I lived an exotic life. I thought I was the privilege to be able to sleep and walk and live through all these different areas. So mm-hmm. no problem to me. My favorite place to sleep was at the airport. And I love that, particularly in Puerto Rico. It was an opened. Today it's nice and shut the way it is in JFK, confined. But in those days, it was open, like maybe the airport in Hilo, which is open, just this, just one little area that's confined, and then you go out and you're back outside. Mm-hmm. That's how it was. And I loved sleeping there because I, in my own childish mind, I would think that all those planes that were taking off to see this man upstairs that my mother used to talk about, that loved me and loved all of us. And I loved to watch the stars because she would tell me that the stars were, it was Jesus smiling and winking at me. So again, never did I think that I was the unfortunate one. I always thought, oh my gosh, I am so lucky to live in all these places every night. Quite different from when we finally settled down. And I was like, wait a minute, it's the same place every night? So it's a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. But little by little, as God would have it, not only was he protecting us during that time that we really didn't know him, when he brought us to him, when we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, it was a totally different revelation.
How did that happen?
How only him. And that's what I, you know, I always say, to God be the glory in yes. everything that I have gone through, mm-hmm. all the blessings. I was giving a talk yesterday to another group about September 11, and I was telling them that should the Lord take me away to be with him, be it through rapture, be it through, you know, whatever other will, I'm okay because he's given me a life of blessings throughout. And the minute that I, you know, people say, well, what was it like being in New York during that time and taking care of what you had to take care of? Again, it wasn't by my strength. It was by him. Only through him and believing on what the word says, that regardless, you know, Psalms 91 says, regardless of what happens around you, I am with you. Mm-hmm. I will send my angels mm-hmm. to be with you and to protect you. And that's how I kind of felt that day. Naturally, you're still in a, you're doing what you do best. This is what you're trained for. And we had been, St. Vincent's had been training for many years. So we already knew what to do. We just didn't know that it was going to be so chaotic. And it was. I think, Danny, going back to that day, people often ask, well, but what are some of the, did you ever want to cry? Did you ever want to crumble? Yes, but there was no time for that. When I saw the towers fall, that was hard. That was surreal. Mm. And it was the director of the paramedics at St. Vincent's, as we were getting ready to do another press briefing with Mayor Giuliani, I remember looking up and he says to me, look, look. And he shows me, and I said, what? And he says, look up at the tower. So I look up, and the top, I would think, 5 or 10 floors seem almost to expand right before our eyes. And I didn't know what that meant. The rest of it was still, but just those top floors seemed to expand. And I remember asking the gentleman, the director of the paramedics, I said, okay, what does that mean? He goes, that means it's going to come down. And I said, what do you mean? It can't. He goes, when you see it expanding on the top like that, it's going to come in. And when it comes in, it's going to implode. And again, seeing these towers all my life, being, I mean, they were part of our skyline. They were so huge and beautiful and strong. nah, that couldn't happen. And sure enough, it just expanded. It was almost like a sponge. And when you wring out the sponge, you know how you go like, that's how it did. It just kind of squeezed its way in, and then it just fell. And it started to fall by levels, almost in increments. And at that point, I wanted to sit down on the sidewalk and start crying. All of the media, now, if you've ever dealt with the media, they're always trying to get the story, and you have to watch them constantly. They can be a little bit unruly, particularly in New York City. They want to get the story first. They were quiet. I had never experienced the reporters and the anchors that were behind the barrier so reverent. And I, to this day, it was because we were all in shock. And I remember one of the CBS reporters, Cynthia McFarlane, calls me for something, and that minute of wanting to cry just escaped me. My attention was brought to her. She started asking other things. We started to take care of that. And then the second one starts to come down. And all you can hear are the people screaming. All you can hear is the gasp of people going, you know, just, it was just a suspended moment in time for all of us, because this is something that we didn't think was going to happen. We didn't believe it was going to happen for one, much less both. So the impact that it caused was with no fear in terms of the terrorist. It was intentional, and you can tell. At that moment, we just started to get back in our routine, waiting for more people to come in, victims. And in the afternoon, about 1:30, the second wave of patients just stopped. There was nobody else coming. And that only meant one thing, that there were no survivors or that they were trapped. People ask me about the smoke. Yes, the smoke was fierce. It wasn't just a cloud of smoke. It was a cloud of debris. It was the stench of what was happening. I couldn't say the privilege, because that's not what it is, but I had to go down to Ground Zero close by, because a lot of our medical people were being interviewed. And my job is to ensure that words are not put into these people's mouths, that the story is not sensationalized, and that the facts remain as clear as possible. And I have to tell you that even today, when I blow dry my hair, and I know you guys don't have that issue, but women, when we're blow drying our hair and sometimes you singe your hair, that smell always takes me back to that day, because that's a smell that was overpowering. The worst thing that I saw that hurts my heart is people jumping. And I say that because what type of distress can someone be in to take away their lives like that, or to choose that option because that's the best option that they have, you know? And I hope and pray constantly. And I know that the Bible talks about those that take their lives. But I know that we serve a wonderful, wonderful God and King of Kings that is all fair. And I know that He was with that person all the way to the end. So we don't know. We don't know if that person is going to be saved regardless. We don't know what their state of mind was. So far be it for us to judge on whether or not those people were saved or not. I leave that up to God, because He's the ultimate judge on everything, and it's a fair judge. Going back to that day and a lot of the things that occurred around us, you know, I remember seeing a man's hand, you know, in all the chaos with a wedding band. That also kind of got to me, because that was somebody's husband, that was somebody's father, perhaps somebody's son, brother, etc. And I'm sure that so many were like that there too. I mean, you walk through the area was a war zone, but yet in New York City, I mean, it was just, we could not understand that. It just wasn't something that we could make any sense of. These eyes that God gave us, they weren't created or put together to see that kind of carnage, to see that kind of terror or that horror. So we do know from what the Bible says, you know, that in the old times, you know, all these wars, etc. But in our time, because were so sheltered, or we were sheltered in America. We never really saw that kind of carnage or that kind of hate. I have to tell you, I have seen evil in the face, but I've also seen God in the midst of everything. And although there was chaos, Danny, there were many miracles as well. People getting to the World Trade Center late. Hmm. People that had to stop for a minute to do something, whether it was get a bagel at the corner or go down. I heard this one gentleman's story. He was sitting at his desk at the World Trade, and all of a sudden he remembered that he had had his prescribed glasses that he had to pick up. And he says, I can do it at 12 o'clock noon. And then he kind of said, might as well do it now because I really haven't started yet my job. So he went down shortly after the first plane hits, and it's his building. And so he's talking about that. Other people that missed the train because the kids were unruly, because the dogs escaped. You heard all these stories all over the place. And there's only one explanation, mm-hmm. and it's God and his love. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that those people were meant to die? I don't know. I wouldn't begin mm-hmm. to answer that. But that is that God was there, and he knew exactly what was happening.
There are questions that sometimes we cannot answer.
Right.
And there are questions that better left unanswered.
Absolutely.
And in a moment like this, I think there comes a point where certain people have they have a right by their experience to speak into the lives of others. And my heart, and I know you're being in healthcare, being so passionate mm-hmm. in healthcare for so many years, you have a heart for people. Mm-hmm. You love people. You care for people. When we come back from our break, Jasmine, I'd like for you to just give a kind of a parting shot to mm-hmm. someone who's going through a real rough time right now. It's a crisis moment for them. Mm-hmm. And yet you're here, sent by God to give people hope, a word of hope, especially from the heart, really from the heart of the Lord through Jasmine to you when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Yes. Welcome back to our show. I'm here with a very special guest today, Jasmine Rodriguez. You know, it's not often that you can sit and be face-to-face with someone and speak heart-to-heart with someone who was actually there at Ground Zero. They're witnessing the entire historical event unfold before her very eyes, and then to articulate in the way that she has in such gripping fashion the faces, the responses. And you might be listening in on this show and say, hey, I've caught some of it. I need to catch more of it. I want to catch all of it. I need to pass this on to a friend. I know of a friend or a family member who will really be encouraged if they were to hear this show. Well, you can get the show at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Just refer the site. Send them a link to the site. Send them a Facebook message. Send them an email. They're going to be encouraged by it. They're going to be moved by it. And really, God will touch their heart through the testimony, the story of Jasmine. As you go to the website, thegoodlifehawaii.org, you might think, you know, how can I support this show? How can I be a part of bringing hope to even more people? Go to our partner section, and we have different options that you can look at as how you could stand with us and really get the word of Christ's hope to others as well. thegoodlifehawaii.org. Jasmine, as I said, you have the right. You've been there. Just give us you're so passionate about healthcare. How did you get that?
That was totally by default. I've always been passionate about people in general. And I was going to school for communications as well as psychology. Psychology is a big part of anything that you do because you have to know how people think. Mm-hmm. Or at least forecast what they think. And as I was doing that, I was asked to take care of media relations. And it was just an entry-level position, taking care of the media when they called because I was so fully bilingual. Mm-hmm. And the hospital that I worked at first, which was Lincoln Hospital, was primarily a lot of Latinos with a heavy accent. So it was difficult for the news media to get a soundbite that without having to type, you know, in the screen, what was it that they were saying? Mm-hmm. So because that became such a huge issue, the HR director at the time had asked me, you know, you seem to have the personality to be able to deal with the press and the patients. And, mm-hmm. And since you're going to school for that, would you mind doing just the media relations component? And I said, sure. I mean, they're going to pay me, so that's a good thing. I have bills to pay for school, mm-hmm. so that's mm-hmm. okay. And totally fell into it by default and continued that route along with my psychology. And I guess when God says, I'm going to send you as a minister into a certain area, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in environmental services. It doesn't matter if you're cleaning up the highways. You have an opportunity to do it with the best that you can. And God draws that intent into your heart mm-hmm. so that you can do it the best that you can. And I think that's what God, I'm sure that that's what God did in my heart. I had a plan. He had a better plan. And so that's how I fell into the loves of my life, which is communications, media, journalism, etc., combined with psychology, healthcare, and understanding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that marriage is really what has brought me this far. And again, glory to him, because yes. Now in hindsight, I look back and I said, wow, had I been this or had I just been this, you know, I wonder what mm-hmm. my life would have turned out.
You know, Jasmine is the director of communications and marketing at Castle Medical Center. I listened to you. I know you mentioned that it was by default, but it seems like through the amazing providence of God, mm-hmm. you have entered into your sweet spot.
Yes, I have.
In life. And what a blessed place to be, to do what you love, to be able to make a good living doing it, and to serve many people in the lane of what you were made to do. And you know how God used that person to recognize early on the gift mix that you had and the potential that you had, coupled with the formal education that you were receiving to give you that opportunity. And look at you now, and look at all what you've been through. And I think you're just right now a symbol of God's hope, because people are looking to fulfill their destiny, their God-given destiny. And some of us sometimes go through crisis moments that are also part of God's development in us. We can't explain it. We can't understand all of it. But a parting shot for someone today, as we remember 9/11, we remember the transformational experience that it has been to the world, and especially those who were there and those in America who have seen it and have all been impacted by it. But somebody today has faced their own disaster. What would you say, sort of like a spiritual, emotional triage, a word of hope for them, Jasmine?
Danny, what I would tell the listeners out there is that God is always in control. And although you are at ground zero of your own, God is always in control. He was that day 10 years ago, and he remains today and forever. I would also, I would be remiss if I didn't say that there are two things that we must do, not just as Christians, but as individuals in general. A lot of the regrets that we heard weeks after for a lot of people that lost their loved ones or friends or just going through a hard time trying to wrap their head and mind around this was, you know, did they know that we love them? Did my loved one that died know how much I love them? Others were, you know, it was an issue of forgiveness or unforgiveness. You know, she wrapped up my credit card so high that I was upset that morning. And the last word that I said was, I hate you. Or the last word that I said was, you're going to work for it. Or it was a mean word that spewed out of their mouths. And those that, again, wondered whether or not they had told their loved ones just how much they meant to them. And so from that, and I always knew this in my life, you know, always tell those you love how much you love them, and always forgive, because God needs to forgive you as well. If you need forgiveness, you have to forgive. And so you know that, but nothing confirmed it so much so than that day. And so my counsel, if I may, aside from understanding and knowing and believing that God is always in control, and that whatever happens in your life, there is a higher power that you can rely on, and that's our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On the other side is, for those that are not in ground zero, but experience sometimes some crisis in their life or some doubts that Satan puts in there, I would say love, always love. And always tell those how much. You know, it might sound corny, you might say it a bazillion times, but the fact of the matter is that that is the most important thing that Jesus commanded us to do, to love one another. And that just doesn't mean the easy to love. That means also the unlovable.
In the next few days, you're going to hear more stories from people like Jasmine Rodriguez. Of course, as you know, this is one of a kind. Invite someone to listen in and be inspired. To find out more about the Good Life Hawaii Radio, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Psalm 62, verse 7 says, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Jasmine Rodriguez. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Raphael Zayas. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life.
with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life Radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.